The Enemy's Help, Part 6, November 11th. November 11th, half the month is almost gone. Thanksgiving is a week away, and we got a lot to be thankful for. Even though you think you might not have a lot, you got God. Amen. Amen. And you got an enemy that don't like you, that's pushing you forth in the things of God. We said that the arrival of an enemy in your life is a sign to you that your present season is finally coming to an end. Say, it's finally coming, to an end. My present season is just a sign, that something new is about to take place. See, God is putting you through a transition plan. God wants you to understand there's some good things right about to take place. In order to have great progress in your life, an enemy is required. An enemy gives you purpose. Say, the enemy gives me some purpose. See, there was a David and there was a Goliath, right? And David wiped out Goliath. And then there was a Pharaoh, and Moses had to stand up to Pharaoh. And then there's a Satan, and then Jesus had to stand up for against Satan. And then, you know what? We have to battle those same people. Because you are destined as a champion. You're not a failure, you're a winner in Christ Jesus. Amen? You've been destined to win and not fail. God is your architect of your life. You've got to understand, God's got this thing figured from the beginning to the end. He looks from the end first and says, I'm going to lay this whole thing out. All you got to do is follow Him. Amen? He's got the timing in place. He's got some things organized. He's got some strategies for you. But guess what? We got to spend some time with Him. Amen? The devil isn't concerned about fighting something you're doing. He's fighting who you're becoming. You're becoming like. You're starting to sound like. You're starting to act like. You're starting to smell like that Jesus. Amen? Real trouble does not come in your life to challenge what you're doing. The real trouble comes to test who you are. You can't have a testimony until you've been tested. Amen. You can't succeed to be champion unless you've defeated your opponent. Amen? You can't be number one by fighting number 10. You got to beat number one. Amen? That's what Jesus did. He beat the devil, and he's number one. He's the undefeated champion. We're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We said that the seed can only produce fruit when it's resisted. The job of the soil is to resist the seed to produce what's on the inside of it. There's something great inside of every one of you that God's placed inside of you. And the enemy there is like soil, and you're going to have to push through it. Amen? Because there's something good inside of you that needs to come out. And when the enemy rises, God is allowing that resistance. And when that happens, there's something inside of you that God has been trying to get out because there's something inside of you that I need and other people connected to you need. Uh-oh. A seed is not the end of the life of the seed. It's the beginning of the seed in what it will become. In fact, everything in life starts with a seed. Think about that. My mom and dad hooked up 47 years ago. Amen. They had a nice evening together, and then I was created. Amen. I don't even want to think about that. I know, honey. I know. I thought the same thing. Praise the Lord. But God had already predetermined, predestined, amen, that there was a Jeff on his way. And I had a plan. And I was a seed in a form, but there was something inside of me that had to come out to the masses. My parents didn't know that. I didn't know that. But God knew that. Why? Because He already had the blueprint. He already had the master plan. He already seen the end and He's seen the beginning. He's seen it all. He already has a plan for us. Amen? When my wife and I had our children, you know, it didn't come as a surprise to God. Amen? There's something inside my children, my youth, that there's something great that God has for them. There's something great inside of you. Your children were an accident. It was a mandate from God. Amen? The word seed, you got to understand, means potential. There's a potential in that little seed. A mustard seed is a small little seed, but it can become something great. I think about the apple. I had an apple the other day, and I thought about that apple used to just be a seed that was planted in the ground, became a tree, and then the tree then bare fruit. When it broke the ground after a period of time, it broke, and then I got an apple. Inside that apple, there's what? Seeds. When I was a kid and when I was growing up, I ate some apple seeds and thought, uh-oh, they're going to grow an apple tree in my stomach. Look out, you know. The challenge you face from the enemy is the very evidence that God will bring you through the battle to complete the thing that's inside of you. There's something inside of you that God wants to get out because the world needs what you have. Amen? So this morning we're going to take a look at the Word of God. Same scripture we've been studying for the last few weeks, 2 Corinthians 4:17. You don't even have to stand this morning for it. I want to just read it to you, 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We are going to go through some light affliction. We're going to go through some tests. We're going to go through some trial, but it's not going to kill you. I used to say that when I was in college. Man, this class is killing me. I just can't comprehend it. Man, the homework is so great. Oh my God, how am I going to do it? It's killing me. Then I got married and had kids, and I said, "These kids are killing me." Had a tough job. "This job's killing me." It's just a light affliction, just for a moment, because God is working out something far better, more exceedingly better, something for the eternal weight of glory. And while we don't look at things that are seen, we look at things that are not seen. "Pastor, that's great. I'm looking for things that aren't seen." I'm looking at the 3,000-member church. I'm looking for businesses that we're going to get connected to that are going to take off and grow like never before. And people are going, "What happened there?" I said, "Just Jesus touched it." So the question is, why are we tested from the enemy? Why are we tested from the enemy? And I've been asking God this for the last weeks and months and saying, "Lord, just, you know, why?" And he started to share with me that a good teacher does not test to teach you something. What? A good teacher does not use a test to teach you something. A test measures what you already know. A test measures what you already know. That's crazy, Pastor. Well, let me give you an example so you can really understand this. When I went to college, I would take a full load, 18 credits. I'd take 5 classes. In each class, each teacher didn't care how much homework they put on you. Each homework might be 3 or 4 hours per class. It buried you. You got to read 100 pages by Wednesday, and today is Monday. And then I've got 50 math problems to do before Wednesday. And you're like, huh? And if you didn't do the math, if you didn't do the English, if you didn't do those things, you found yourself on the test failing. But the key was, in the 50-minute test, because that's all you had, there was only going to be probably 4 questions. And if you've done all your homework, if you've already prepared, if you've been spending time in the Word, if you've been coming to church and hearing the Word, if you've been going on the internet and listening to the sermon over and over and over again and letting it dwell inside, when you're out there going about helping somebody and being a blessing to somebody else, when you're in your prayer closet praying to God, when you're fasting, when you're doing the things that God's called you to do, you pass the test. A 50-minute test looks intimidating, but you've already got the knowledge inside of you on how to deal with the situation. When sickness and disease comes upon you, I already read the book that by His stripes I were healed. I already know the answer. I don't have to panic about it. The exams in college challenged me to prove what I had learned. And the test stood in the way of my new identity. What do you mean, Pastor? I wanted to be a college graduate, but I had to pass the classes in order to be a graduate of college. The only thing that stood in front of me were those tests. And I had to conquer those tests in order to get the new identity called graduate. See, the enemy is singling a transition. It's an indicator, a blinking light, that the next season in your life is about to roll around. That's why you have sometimes a test after a test after a test, because God's trying to get you somewhere real quick. Amen? I don't know if you ever heard of the author Mike Murdock. He has the wisdom keys, and I always like him because all he preaches on is wisdom. And sometimes I go, God, every time he has them on a TBN or they have them on a prayer network or something, he's always going to talk about the wisdom book, you know, and talks about wisdom. But he says something that I caught about 2-3 weeks ago, and it was late at night, and they always have him on, and I, Lord, okay, let me dial into what he's saying, because he's got some wisdom. He really does. And he says that your friends encourage you. Your family humbles you. But only the enemy can promote you. I went, what? Your friends will encourage you. Your family, they'll humble you. He says, but only the enemy can promote you. Shout with me this morning. My friends will encourage me. My family will humble me. But only the enemy can promote me. See, only the enemy can promote you. That means you got to go through some tests. Once you pass a test, you get promoted. My daughter will be graduating this year in high school. Amen. She'll be getting her PhD this year, her public high school diploma. Amen. But she had to take a series of classes and a series of tests and a series of things to learn so that she could get a diploma. Her new identity in June will be that of a graduate of high school. Hallelujah. College, here we come. Amen. Amen. Romans 8:28, New King James Version says this. Romans 8:28. And we know that some things work together for the good of those who love God. What is that? Doesn't yours say? Well, maybe mine says something different. It says, and we know that most of the stuff, 99% of things, work together for good, right? See, I fight this one because I'm thinking, really, Lord? All things are really working together here in this situation I'm dealing with? Really? Really? But he says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All those things are working together for good. That shoulder surgery I had last Thursday was working out for his good. Don't understand why, but it's working out for his good. Wouldn't have been able to meet the therapist and the secretary and the other doctors in that office without having therapy. So he must be working out something for good. But I said, Lord, all things, even when I went through some tests and trials where it wasn't favorable for me and I felt like I wasn't successful, the Lord says, yeah, but all these things are working out together for good. Who's good? You're good. It might not feel like it feels good, but sometimes you got to push through your pain. Sometimes you got to push through what you're going through. In grade school, as in life, the teacher is always silent during the test. Think about that. Not only will the teacher not respond and speak to you, he or she will typically not allow others to speak to you while you're taking a test. Now think about this. Get this morning. You need to recognize that during your own battles, that the silence and isolation were designed so that you can focus on the test. And sometimes I go, God, I can't hear you. I've been crying out to you. What's going on? You've been there. Lord, I've been fasting. I've been tithing. I've been giving offerings. I've been doing what you told me to do, and it seems like you don't hear me. But during a test, the teacher's silent. Because you already have the answer. And he wants you to stay focused on. A test focuses us to focus squarely on what you know to be true. That's why sometimes he secludes you, and sometimes he's silent, and sometimes there's an isolation, and I go, God, I don't like to be isolated. He goes, but you're not alone. The teacher is still in the room. He may not talk to you, But he's not going to hint to you because you already have the answer. Get that this morning. Get that this morning. You already have the answer. And sometimes we feel isolated. Sometimes we feel, God, there's no one on my side. What is going on? And the whole time, he's still in the same room. I don't know how many tests I've taken in college, and the teacher or the professor would just walk around. He was quiet as could be. He just walking down the aisles. Never said a word, but he was still in the room. See, God hasn't forgotten about you. He's still in your room. The enemies you're facing right now may be there because God recognizes maybe you've lost some focus and it's stopping you from accomplishing your purpose. And the problem as well as the test forces you once again to refocus on what God is trying to do in you, with you, and through you for your life. Take a look at Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19, verse 21, New Living Translation says this way, because this messed me all up. Okay, I understand that sometimes I feel alone, God. I know sometimes when I got to take these tests that you may not answer because it's already inside of me. But in Proverbs 19:21 says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Pastor Jeff made a lot of plans, but God's purpose is still going to prevail. My plans may fail, but his purpose will prevail. Your failures that you think you had, no. God's still going to prevail. Because he said he knows the beginning from the end. He's working from the end back, is he not? He already has the master plan. He already is the author and the creator. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. There is already something in you, a purpose, and it will prevail. One way or another, it's going to come. You can do it kicking and screaming, or you can do it his way. And sometimes there might be some pain that you need to push through. See, God in his greatness has a way to take your right, your wrong, your good, your bad, your apathy, your ambition, your mistakes, your successes. Take it all and make it fit into the picture of your life that he's been crafting from the very beginning. Because what he has started in you, please understand, he will complete. He will complete. And the church said, amen. Amen. God is a God of the next level. Write that down. God is a God of the next level. And there's levels in the things of God. In life, you don't get from God what you think you deserve. You get what God thinks you can manage. Let me say that again. In life, you don't get from God what you think you deserve. You get what God thinks you can manage. When we started this church 9 years ago, I said, Lord, I need 1,000 people. And Lord, I need 1,000 to start. That ain't much for you. It's what I deserve. 1,000. Just to start off. My ambition was a little high. I said, okay, Lord, just give me 500. But he's saying the whole time, you get what you can manage. If you would have had 500, you would have had 500 headaches. You already had 20, and you already had 20 headaches. A new enemy will arise as a key indicator that the next level is about to dawn in your life. There's some things that happen. I want to give you an illustration in the Bible in Luke 19:11. Luke 19:11. This is in the New Living Translation. And I want you to get this because so many people read the Bible, but they haven't studied it. And this fits right into what we're talking about regarding the enemy and talking about tests, because you can't be promoted until you've taken the test. And Luke 19:11 says this, that the crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. I like this. They were listening to everything Jesus was saying. And because he was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. And he said a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, "Invest this for me while I am gone. Test. Will you do what he has to do, or will you fail the test?" He said to these 10, here's a pound of silver. Go and invest it for me. Do your very best. Test. He was setting them up for something great. Some things God's told us to do, but we've said no to. Guess what? You'll have another chance. It says here, but his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "We don't want him to be our king." They didn't want Jesus to be king either. And after he was crowned king, he returned and called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. It profits a man to be obedient to what God says. And the first servant reported, "Master, I've invested your money and made 10 times the original amount." A pretty good return. It says, "Well done," the king exclaimed. "You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted you, so you will be the governor of 10 cities as your reward." Wow. Next servant reported, "Master, I've invested your money and made 5 times the original amount." "Well done," the king said. "You will be governor of 5 cities." That's pretty cool. That was pretty awesome. 10 cities, 5 cities. Then the third servant brought back only the original amount of money, and he said, "Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with." Uh-oh. Taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant. Didn't the Bible say something that you're going to reap where you didn't sow? Okay. "You wicked servant," the king roared, "your own words condemn you. If you knew that I was a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. So once again, the guy who was obedient got blessed a double portion. Got blessed a second time. Did he need it? No, but he did get it. He got blessed. "Yes," the king replied, "and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given." Uh-oh. "But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And as for these enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them right here in front of me." Pretty harsh. He took the one from the third one that didn't do nothing and gave it to the one that had 10. Then he had a test. He passed the test so he could have a testimony. See, the king commanded those servants to do something, and those that were responsible with their actions got blessed. The servants went to new levels, but they were tested. Amen? What I do know is that God is the God of levels. He moves you from one level to another level, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. That's how God works. You go from one glory to the next one. You might have some test and trial, but it gets you to where God wants to take you. So don't fight it. Just push through. Just endure. Press through a little bit. He's trying to teach you something. Sometimes the classes, you know, in summer class, those classes are called accelerated. They're not 10-week classes, they're like 6 weeks. And they jam 10 weeks worth of stuff into 6 weeks so you can get done during summertime. Amen? Sometimes that's how God does it with us. Sometimes we were off focus a little bit. We didn't pay attention, so God says, "Well, I'm going to let you take summer school. I'm going to accelerate this a little bit." so I can get you from one season to the next season. I might need you to go at a couple different levels real quick because there's something on the other end, and then there's this time and season that I need you prepared for when it comes. I'll close with the scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Amplified Bible says this. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the glory of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You connect to Jesus through your spirit, spirit to spirit. Obedience to the Word sets you up for the next level. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. Let me give you a good example of how this works. 15, 16 years ago, we moved to Las Vegas. We plug into a church. We get into ministry. What do you mean ministry? Where can I serve? Where can I serve? Not what I'm going to get out of it. Not to please the pastor or have some brown stuff on my nose. But I come to serve. So my wife and I join a church and we get committed and we go through the classes and we start helping out. My wife works in the nursery because she has two children that need to be in the nursery. So part of the duty was you got kids in there, you participate. And then my wife was involved in singing. And I was involved in ushering and outreach and all that stuff. And there was always tests that went along the way. And there was new levels. Every time you thought you got to one level, there was going to be another level. And I got in there and I was just an usher and a greeter. I'd help out. I'd mop floors. I'd clean toilets. Whatever needed to be done. Just in training for God. And then they said, well, we're going to promote you to head usher. Went to a whole nother level. Another level means more responsibility. Your responsibility is you're going to go get coffee set up every week. And you're going to go to the donut store and get the donuts. And then you're going to have this little book and you're going to read this little scriptures in the book to the men and women that are on your usher team. And then you're going to pray for them. And they're going to pray and then they're going to go to their posts where they need to be so that they can meet the people at the cars or the parking lot. And whatever needed to be done, you did it. Then we'd be involved in other outreach ministries and Christmas giving and Thanksgiving giving. And then my wife, instead of just being part of the choir, she would be able to sing in front. She got front and center many times, and other people would get upset. Why did she get to be in front? Who made her voice so much better? It wasn't that she was always better, she was just obedient. She wasn't looking to be in the front limelight, look at me. I didn't want to be in the front line. I liked being back behind the scenes, watching, looking. But it was all preparation, and there was tests along the way. And every test that I took, I got promoted to another level. Then we left that church, and we connected with another pastor, and I became his associate pastor. Another level. And then I was with him for a few years, and then God says, no, now it's your time to step out and be the pastor. And then you look back and you said, but it started way back when I was just an usher and a greeter. When I was working in the nursery cleaning up the puke and the mess and the diapers that were messed. I was the guy, I'm plunging those toilets because the kids put a whole darn roll of toilet paper down there. I was the one who had to work with the youth and I didn't even like any of them. Go to these outreaches and go in the hood. Go down to D Street and knock on the door and the crack addict is saying, what are you doing here? And you hear the pump of the gun. I'm just here to tell you that we're going to have an outreach over here and all you're all invited. Praise the Lord. Don't shoot me. But then what happens is you start to trust God. And God sets you up. And little did I know that I was going to go to the level to be pastor. Didn't know. Didn't want it. Pastors get beat up. But I had an enemy and an assignment would always try to push me. They'd always try to get to me and question and make me doubt and get in fear and unbelief. But then when I passed the test, I said, well, that devil's just a liar. Lied about this and lied about, there's something consistent about the devil. He's always a liar. But obedience to his word sets you up for the next level. And when you're obedient, guess what? There might be somebody going to try to block that. Someone who's going to try to reposition you out of the way, but not God. Every day, you're actually becoming what you already are. The struggles and testing in your life conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you think about, for the first 30 years, he didn't really go through too much. But as soon as he was announced, and the Holy Spirit fell upon him, all hell broke loose in his life. God is working to help you be all you've intended to become. A good teacher does not use a test to teach you something. He or she uses a test to measure what you already know. It's already inside of you. If you already know that you're the head, not the tail, you're above and not beneath, you're blessed coming in, you're blessed going out, when things happen to you, you don't worry about too much. When sickness and disease tries to come upon you, you say that by his stripes I were healed. Why? Because that's inside of me. I already have the answer. Come on. How do I get out of my situation? I just give a little bit more to God. It's all I know to do. I give a little bit more of my money, a little bit more of my time, a little bit more of my talents, and guess what? God makes the time. Why? Because I already know the answer to the question. I just have to implement it and do it. You already have the answer. Your friends encourage you. Your family humbles you, but only the enemy can promote you. Don't fight the tests and trials. Use them to become who you already are in Christ. Work it out. Know that he's on your side. In life, you don't get from God what you think you deserve. You get what God thinks you can manage. You're going to go to new levels in Christ. And he didn't say that there wasn't going to be new battles. There's no new devil. The devil's the same old devil. Just different tricks he has up his sleeve. But he's already been defeated. He's already under your feet. Next time he comes roaring like a lion, just yell back at him, devil. My elder brother already put you down. Just stay down. The challenge you face from the enemy is the very evidence that God will bring you through the battle to complete the thing that's inside of you. God has something great inside of all of you. He really does. He wants it to come forth. It won't come forth unless you have a test. Didn't say it'll be easy, Street. Never said that. I thought that way when I first got saved, and everything was great for about the first 30 days. Man, when you're a new Christian, the first 30 days of being a Christian, it was great, man. And then life happened. All those that said, man, you changed, and what do you mean you ain't smoking with me and drinking with me and hanging and going here and doing that? Well, I don't do that no more. Oh, you just Satan. You got saved now? You're somebody. Yeah, I did. I'm not the old person I used to be. And then the devil comes in and tries to steal some things from you or tries to get you sick. You see that? You know how it used to be. Now you look back and the devil tries to come in and you say, oh, okay, devil, I've seen this one before. You got nothing new up your sleeve. God only gives you what you can manage. You think you deserve all this, but God says, I'm only going to give you what you can manage. People that win the lotto usually have spent it all and are broke within 18 months. And more calamity and problems happen in their lives because they don't know how to handle that. And the devil gave that to them, and they're thinking, oh, glory to God, I won the lotto. Oh, maybe it wasn't God who allowed that to happen. I didn't know God was into gambling. I just, And then they thought they got blessed, and before you know it, everything they had in their life just disintegrates. People come out of the woodwork and take advantage of them. Their sickness and disease starts to happen in their life, and all the things they think they had, it all goes bye-bye. But see, he can trust you. You're going to be one of those servants that you brought that 10 times back. And he says, well, here, I'm going to let you be in control of these 10 cities. And oh, you got me 5 back for the 1, so I'm going to give you these 5 cities. God can trust you. But you have to go through some tests. He starts off with some small things, and he wants to test you in the small things before he can give you the big things. 15 years ago, when I was an usher, I wasn't ready to be pastor. I had to go through some stuff. I had to study to be approved. I needed to go through some stuff and watch pastors go through some stuff and go in some ministries and see how hard it is and understand all those different ministries, because someday I was going to be in head of all of them. Didn't know it then. Do now. Well, pastor, you don't know what it is to just clean the church on Sunday. Yeah, I know, I did it. I cleaned the churches, I mopped the floors, I scrubbed the toilets. I did it even when I'm pastor. Senior pastor. Bishop Budzinski. People would come in that door and they'd say, where's the pastor of the church? I said, just a minute, let me get him. I'd wipe up all the sweat and wash my hands and say, hi, I'm the pastor. What are you doing cleaning the toilets? Well, it's God's house. I'm just the master of the house. Need to get done, gets done. Amen. Shout with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the tests and trials. I am being validated every day of what you place inside of me. I'm becoming Christ-like. My life is in transition because I'm going to go to new levels in you. My friends encourage me. My family humbles me. But only the enemy can promote me. Jesus, thank you for using the enemy to keep me on track for your purposes. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Did you get anything? Do you understand sometimes why you feel isolated? Because in the test, sometimes you have to have silence. The golden rule is silence, or the nun would crack your knuckles. Sometimes you're going through the test and you feel you're alone, but the teacher is still in the classroom. The great teacher, the great physician, your great friend, Jesus, via the Holy Spirit, is with you everywhere you go. You're never alone. So you're not going to fail the test. You may stumble. You may fall. But you're going to get back up. You're not alone. Understand that isolation, God's just trying to refocus you on your potential. Your potential is so great, and the devil is so afraid of you. He is so in fear of what you're becoming, that he tries to unleash everything he can upon you. But all he's doing is helping promote you to validate who you are in Christ and what you're going to become, because there's something so great in you, the devil is trembling in hell. There's something inside of you that everybody else needs. So let it out. Let God work it through you so you can become all that God's called you to be. Maybe God's called you into some form of ministry. Maybe God's called you into missions. Maybe God's called you to be something great. Then just step out and do it. But understand, there's going to be some tests you're going to have to go through. I had to go through 15 years of things to get where I am today. I had a great wife that supported me and was with me. It wasn't easy. We still got tests and battles, even this day. But I do also know I have the victory in Christ Jesus. I already know that I won. I read the end of the book. I cheated. I ran the end of the book. beginning from the end. See, if we're smart, we'll read the end. It says to find out when you read the book of Revelation that you get a blessing from that book. It's the only book when you read it, you get a blessing. That's what the Bible says in there. But I think I get blessed in every chapter and verse because I'm learning something. So when the test comes, I can pass it. So I can get an A. A minus or B. I'm all good with that. Amen? So I would tell my kids, A, B, C, your top three. Don't worry about it. You're laughing, but it's true. Sometimes we get through those tests just by the skin of our teeth, and you know it. Man, I just got underneath the wire right now. Oh, man, thank you, Lord. There's other times we just kicked it. The devil came in at that sickness, and you said, I ain't doing it. A plus. Right? Should I give, Lord? Should I give, Lord? And you just plant that seed and let it, oh, A plus, baby. Should I go and do that for that person over there who's struggling with their car? Now they got that new thing underneath the car, that thing, you know, see that new thing they have? You put your foot underneath it and the trunk opens up. Right? Wish I would have thought of that. But all those people struggling, now they're gonna, now they can just put their foot underneath there and then just throw all the stuff in the back of the truck. But should I go help that person while they're struggling? I'm trying to help you. Lord, bless your people. Everything that they put their hands to this week, Lord, will supernaturally increase and prosper and grow. I thank you, Lord, for the tests that we have, the little ones, that we can give you the credit. Thank you, Lord, for healing our bodies, touching our minds, blessing our finances. Thank you, Lord God, for closing our back. Thank you, Lord God, for food on our table. Thank you for roofs over our head. Thank you for teeth in our mouth, ears to hear, hands that work, feet that move, eyes that can see, and ears that can hear you when you talk to us. Thank you in a little stuff, Jesus. Thank you for our kids and our grandkids. Thank you, Lord, that they're all healthy and whole. A hedge of protection around them. Thank you, Lord God, that we're blessed and highly favored. We're increasing in the things of God. Lord God, thank you that we're ready to take the test at any moment's notice because we already have the answer. It's you. So bless us, Lord God. Let us put the time in we need in your word so that we have all the answers when things come our way. Let us be the one with the right answer, Jesus, that will draw people into the kingdom of God. Bless us this day, Jesus. And when we go forth, Lord God, let us be the mouthpiece of the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. Jesus, I ask you to bless us in your mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. You are dismissed.